folks. I'll now call to order the October 19th meeting of the Board of Supervisors. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Do we have any changes to the agenda before I ask? Do we have a motion for the adoption of the agenda?
I move that we adopt the agenda as presented.
Got a motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 3-0. Mr. Fairchild and Mr. O'Brien, absent. All right, Mr. Dahl.
Yep, Mr. Chairman, the board just has a few things to report and some reminders for the county administrator's report. So we've got a couple new employees starting in the communication center in 911. Tara Bolton, she started October 10th, and let me move my thing here. Then Stacy Morris also started on October 10th in the E91 employment department. Glad to have them on board. Just another reminder, the 18th Annual Halloween Festival and Trunk or Treat is Saturday, October 29th at Pleasant Grove Park. And again, remember they have a semi-scary haunted trail, and the Trunk or Treat starts at 6:30 and ends at 8:30. Free and open to the public. And again, if you know any community groups or individuals want to have your vehicle available to hand out candy, Parks and Rec just asks that you register through the rec desk to do that. And again, there's no charge for that. In addition to right now, annual Friends of the Library book sale is going on in the library. I haven't been by there, but like every year, they have a lot of books to sell. So Thursday, October 6th through Saturday, October 22nd, it's going on. Hours at the library, you know, vary throughout, but again, you can go to the library, give the library a call. We have lots of good specials on books, and their corporate sponsor is Monticello Country Real Estate and Our Lady of Peace. And again, please contact the library if you have any questions. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. If you're a victim of domestic violence or know someone is, help is only a phone call away. You can call the Fluvanna County Victim Witness Assistance Program at 591-434-591-1985 or Shelter for Help and Emergency, SHE, at 434-293-8509. And I think the board just, maybe you saw this came through today, but Habitat for Humanity is doing their 27th home dedication. It's going to be November 13th at 3 p.m., which is on Sunday at 440 Kearney Way. So the upcoming home dedication will honor a special lady who has worked very hard to become a Fluvanna homeowner. This is an event to also thank and honor all the local volunteers, church communities, business partners, and donors who've helped make this. And again, remember, Parkins Place is a 64-acre neighborhood, and they own and are developing. Once it's completed, it'll hold 26 homes and a recreation area, and they're able to keep homes affordable. And this saves homeowners approximately $40,000 per year. So anyway, if anyone's interested at attending that, it's November 13th at 3 p.m. And the Quad County Business Summit was held last week in conjunction with the Quad County Business Summit. They had the Quad Tank Pitch Competition was held at the same time. So there are 19 businesses that competed, including six from Fluvanna that applied to compete. So the finalists were four businesses. Two of them were Fluvanna businesses. One was a Louisa business and one was an other town, Orange County business. So the two Fluvanna businesses that submitted and were in the final running was Sweetheart Emporium and Herbert's Wine and Jelly. Unfortunately, they did not win the top prize for the Quad County tank. Southern Revere Cellars, which is a brewery and winery in Louisa County, they ended up taking home the top spot on that. But again, big kudos to Sweetheart Emporium and Herbert's Wine and Jelly for doing a fantastic job. And I was at that. I went there for the pitch competition, and they did great work on that. And you know, for Spotlight on Business, if anyone in the community or know of anyone that's looking to build their business's social media presence, there's a big business education series coming up through the Chamber and the SBDC. So Thursday, October 27th, they have three different sessions from 12:30 to 1:30, 2 to 4, and 4 to 6 p.m. Again, please reach out. You can register at fluvannachamber.org. And like I said, a great way to kind of get some free tools and some just some good advice on trying to boost your business platform.
Where do they have these?
Is this at Hardware Hills? Yeah, this one is at Hardware Hills Vineyard down off of Route 6 in between Fort Peabody and Scottsdale.
The Old Thistle Gate.
Yeah, Old Thistle Gate, yep. Yep, just right across the Harbor River there. And just some upcoming board meetings. November 2nd, we are going to have a 5 p.m. regular meeting. Remember, November 10th at 8:30 a.m., we're having the elected officials breakfast. November 16th at 7 p.m., we will have a regular meeting. And then December 7th at 5 p.m., we have another regular meeting. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that the board has.
Any questions? Thank you very much, sir. Do appreciate it. All righty. Having heard the county administrator's report, I'll now open the first round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board, please step to the microphone. State your name and address. Keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this time?
Evening, board. Corbin Flynn, 319 Shiloh Church Road. As far as a public announcement, this Saturday at Fork Union Baptist Church between 3 and 6, we will be having Following Jesus, so a trunk-or-treat type of thing, just like Pleasant Groves has. We do it every year, free to the public. Anybody can come on out for that. Thinking about a couple of meetings and some of the things that have come through the meeting, I think it was September 21st, you guys passed for VDOT to do a study around Lake Monticello, which is a good thing. We need to know that. You mentioned something about getting hit coming out the Riverside Gate. I've almost got hit a couple of times as well. And so the board controls, I know you guys don't determine what necessarily is going to be done, but you have a lot of weight in the development going on around Lake Monticello, which means the more cars that come out on 600, 618, and 53, roads that haven't changed for 40 years and probably aren't going to change anytime in the near future. And so being responsible in seeing to it that the development that is done in such a way that the impact of all that traffic is thought about going forward. And the simple, something a lot of people probably wouldn't like, but the common sense thing to do between now and whenever those roads may actually get corrected, which I don't think would be in my lifetime, is to reduce the speed limit from circle to circle to across the bridge to somewhere between 25 and 35 miles an hour. And maybe you might save a life by doing that. And I think your all's weight with VDOT could certainly push that issue until something else gets figured out. The last meeting where Pearson Appraisal shared a little bit about an update on the appraisal, I listened to that, and most everything, as I recall, was all residential. There really wasn't much on land or commercial. So as he finishes that up and that gets finished up, I'm curious to see how he'll approach the land. And then I'm also curious to see how he'll approach the commercial, being as that just in the last 6 months, we've almost doubled our commercial land, so our supply has went up when our demand has not changed any. And so as a result of that, there should be some sort of adjustment in that, just like if you had 10 houses for sale for $200,000 versus 40 houses for sale, supply will outweigh. If you have too much supply, then prices come down. That's pretty simple common sense stuff as well. That you, again, as a board, trying to do your best to look out for Fluvanna County as a whole, carry more weight than maybe what sometimes you might want to carry, but nonetheless, it's a choice that you guys have made in running for your seat and then getting elected by the county residents in your district. And so I just ask that you look at each and everything that comes across your desk, whether it's a 750-page printout on a tanker for Fork Union Fire Station, or whether it be a road, or whether it be a commercial unit, or anything else, that you will take the time and think it through thoroughly from beginning to end, and how it may affect not just the individual requesting it, but the county as a whole. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else who wish to speak at this time? Anyone online, Mr. Dahl?
There's not. All right,
seeing none, I will now close the first round of public comment.
Public hearings, noise control ordinance, Mr. Dahl.
Yeah, I've got just a really brief, I mean, like I said, Fred, we can pull up the ordinance. Fred has a lot of the, since Fred was the one, you know, working with the sheriff's office, helping kind of draft this. Again, real brief. So again, the principal purpose of this action would provide for a new standard for review of noise complaints, with which the sheriffs believe will be easier and more equitable to enforce, as well as this new ordinance that substitutes civil penalties as specifically authorized by the statute in lieu of the current criminal penalties. So again, this ordinance will repeal the current 15.1 and add new chapter 15.2 to regulate noise and activities related. And there's also some assessments for penalties and violations in there. From the ordinance itself, and I'll kind of turn it over to Fred. You know, we talked a little bit about the ordinance at the last meeting. You know, the current ordinance itself has a lot of decibel regulations in there and standards for the sheriff's office to have to kind of prove that someone is in violation of the current ordinance. And you know, for them to do that, going before the judge and having all their ducks in a row, it's just having the noise machines and trying to have them set up and get a baseline, it's basically near impossible, if not impossible, for them to enforce. So I'll let Fred talk a little bit about kind of what this new one does a little bit.
Well, let me give you just a word to the history of it. Frankly, I had forgotten some of the history of this, because I did write it, and it was largely based on Albemarle's. And I wrote Albemarle's too, and I wrote that before. And it originally had a what you might call a reasonable standard, and that is, if you generate noise that disturbs people, and not to be exact with the language, but it impressed me that was a good standard. But I think it was 2008, there was a case in Virginia Beach that had substantially the same language we had, that the Supreme Court declared unconstitutional. And I think the Supreme Court was unrealistic in its opinion, but they're not right to go on the Supreme Court. They're not on the Supreme Court because they're right. The right is on the Supreme Court. And so we went back and added an objective criterion, and that was sound measurements with engineered equipment. And as Eric said, it's turned out to be impractical. And the biggest problem with it is that you're not coming to the the nuisance is not coming to you. You're going to the nuisance. And when you take your equipment out there, you have to set it up. And the big thing is you have to get a baseline. And you can't know where it's going to be, so you don't have one in advance. And you can't take it while you're out there because the noise is already there. So
or the noise is gone.
Or it's gone. Well, if it's gone, it doesn't matter. But either way, the managers simply weren't willing to enforce it. And it took a lot of time, a lot of expertise. It just didn't, it wasn't practical. I was working with the Sheriff's Department, primarily Major Wills, and they explained all that. And he gave me the corresponding ordinance of Loudoun. And that appeared, it wasn't very different from ours, except for the standard. And the standard was basically the one you see in this ordinance, and that is, it applies only in residential districts. So if you're chainsawing out behind the CVS, it doesn't apply to that. But if you're out chainsawing behind somebody's house, that does apply. And basically what it is with a number of specific exceptions, there are a number of specific inclusions and then a number of specific exemptions. It depends largely on time. So if you're out cutting, Mr. Dowell and I were discussing comparing chainsaws from late January events, if you're out there doing it at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, that's okay. The ordinance doesn't apply. But if you do it on 5 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night, does apply. And that's where we've gotten. And the standard is whether it can be heard, the noise can be heard in the residence of the neighbor with all the doors and windows closed. And that's a phrase, by the way, that comes from the album, the doors and windows closed. And that impressed me as one that would be enforceable under the Supreme Court's decision, and it's reasonable because that way it really doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're if you're on Mrs. Eager's farm and you're 300 yards from the nearest neighbor, you can make a lot of noise. But if you live one of the more recent high-density developments, higher-density developments, then the standard would apply. There are a number of other minor changes, but it's not, in a lot of ways, it's not very different. We typically use the Loudoun language instead of our current language with most of the paragraphs where they were saying same subject matter, because theirs, by and large, had been massaged a bit. The other major change that we made was it was apparent from the sheriff's experiences that and I agree with this based on my personal experience, my professional experience, was that the criminal penalty simply wasn't necessary and it wasn't appropriate. That you go to court, nobody's going to jail for this. You're going to get a fine. And in the meantime, since we dealt with this last, there's been a specific statute authorizing noise ordinances for counties. And we also use the language of that statute in a couple of places to make some changes in it. The big change we made was we simply eliminated the criminal sanction and substituted civil penalties. I have never personally been a fan of civil penalties, but that's what's in the statute. And typically, if the statute authorizes one penalty, and the general statute authorizes another, safer, that you've got greater certainty that it will be sustained if you use the statutory, which is the civil penalties. So that's sort of a bird's eye view of this. And having been through three generations of the same ordinance, I may be able to answer questions.
And certainly, as Mr. Payne said, the sheriff's office is in support of this, as they helped kind of bring the sprints on forward to kind of make their enforcement actions a little more practical.
Yeah, we work very closely with the sheriff's office.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do you all have any questions for presenters? None? Alrighty. Hearing no questions, I will now open the public hearing. Please keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak at this time?
Mr. Chair, may I ask you, we had an email from a citizen concerning this ordinance. Is that public hearing information?
We haven't read them in the past on emails.
Yeah, and the individual did ask for it to be, what's the language, asked for the email to be part of the
note,
part of the public hearing, but they just wanted to provide information before.
Yeah.
But I know this.
Right, but we still need to address those concerns. You have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he sent all of us.
I apologize. My email has not been working. Something's going on with my phone.
Okay,
he thinks that the replacement ordinance is vague and lacking in specificity, beyond enforceable. Having, as I say, had quite a lot of experience with this, and I disagree with that. And more importantly, Major Wells disagrees with it, and he's been on the front lines of this. So I simply disagree with that. The next point he makes is that in 15.2-5, it talks about the doors and windows closed, and then he does something which, to be perfectly honest, I think it's nitpicking. He asks whether that includes things like fiberglass doors, screen doors, cuspidors, which impresses me as kind of frivolous. I will note that he, in two places here, quotes the Albemarle ordinance, and the Albemarle ordinance uses exactly the language that ours uses in this case. So I don't think there's any fault with that. The next thing he notes is that Albemarle uses measurable decibel increase. That's the same. That would have the same problems. I have heard, although I've not checked back with the county attorney, of course the county attorney's been in office for about 4 months, so he doesn't remember the history of it. But I have heard that Albemarle's having the same problem, the technical problem. So I think that's
going out there and setting up the speaker, the monitors. And
yes.
Getting a reading.
The decibel reading.
You've got to get a reading.
Right. So I can't agree with that. The next one is 15.2-6. Talks about being plainly audible with restrictions on power or powered equipment. And he asks whether this includes electrical equipment or just equipment using internal combustion engines. I think the answer to it is that it doesn't matter what form of power it uses, it's whether it generates the noise. So if you're out trimming your hedge with clippers, it doesn't apply to that, because that's clearly not power. But if you're out there with an electric one, I've done it with that, and it doesn't generate much noise. But it generates less than gasoline power. But I will tell you that I have used gas and electric weed eaters, and there isn't much difference in the sound of those. The gas is a little more noisy, but the main noise comes from the cutting itself. So I think that's not an insuperable problem. The other one is 15.2-7. Restrictions are placed on certain activities, construction, demolition, etc., quote, which produce sound, end quote. The wording is so overbroad as to well include hanging a family portrait on the wall. Again, there's a lack of objective standard of any kind. I disagree with that. We have an objective standard, and you can't condemn things because poor example is used. But if you make so much noise putting up grandma's picture in your dining room that it disturbs me next door, you're making too much noise.
You're using a big hammer.
Yeah. So he says he doesn't doubt that the noise ordinance is necessary, probably more essential than densely populated areas of the county. And I encourage one, yes, further action on the ordinance be deferred to allow some refinement for clarity, specificity, and reflection of modern technology. I must say, when I read this, my reaction was, we've done exactly what you said. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying we never make mistakes. But it really would have been helpful if you were going to criticize these things to suggest alternatives. And he didn't. So I simply disagree.
Well, I think that an ordinance can, if a situation arises, it becomes a problem. Revised as well too. The framework is much better than what we currently have as well too. So.
Well, it certainly happened before, and it certainly can happen again.
And we appreciate his time to bring it absolutely forward to our attention, and we have looked at it, and we've just and you've looked in the church and so forth. So we've given it our attention.
You're required to consider the public's input. You're not required to agree. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyone else wishing to speak at this time? No one on that? Okay, I will now close the public hearing. Are there any questions or comments from the board? Please, the Sheriff's Department was very committed that this was something and as you stated, if we find out it's not right, we'll just make the change to it.
Yeah, I think the shift to civil penalties makes
that's
it a lot easier.
That's the main thing. Yeah.
You're not trying to kill somebody. You just say, please don't do that.
Right, officers are going to make a judgment to prosecute somebody or to just recommend prosecution for noises.
Well, and of course, as to that goes, there is another alternative. The common law ordinance produces. So if somebody's making the same noise all the time and never stops, you can always get an injunction.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We spoke about when it comes to dogs.
All right. So do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors adopt an ordinance to 1, repeal Chapter 15.1 of the Savannah County Code in its entirety, and 2, add a new Chapter 15.2 in its place to regulate excessive noise and activities related thereto, and to provide for penalties for violations thereof in its entirety.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Seeger. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0-1. All right.
Let me get a paper bag out of here.
Off where I was. Action matters. B, Fluvanna, FY23 CIP additional funding request for Fork Union Tanker 20, Mr. John Lye, and I see Chief Alley back there. If y'all would come down towards the podium, please.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Dahl, go ahead.
Yeah, and we've got Ms. Melvin. She'll come up too to kind of talk about some of the funding pieces, but I'll let them do their discussion with the board first, but we can get into more technical stuff.
So basically, all we're asking for, I'll take some of the blame for this because I was uneducated on how we do things, but the county attorney's office and FESCO worked really hard on getting this together, and the county requires a performance bond, and also they required the contract be done through HGAC. The performance bond cost was $3,321, and there was a $2,000 fee for the HGAC contract fee. I didn't know to tell them to put that in the spec, so they didn't put it in there. That's really all we're asking for. We didn't make changes to the truck at all. This is requirements of our county.
Okay.
Yeah, just normally what we do, anytime we do a big prepayment, just to protect the big prepayment, we want to make sure that there's performance on bond in place to do that. So we purchased trucks before through other cooperative agreements, and we've done so a lot with, Pierce?
With Atlantic.
Atlantic Pierce, we've done a lot of them, and we made prepayments. And we've done that so many times that all the contractual documents in place, and so it's just kind of automatic. When we went through this new HDAC cooperative going through Lake and Fesco, it was a little new to Fork Union and to the county. So once we got into what was really required for the cooperative contract, you know, it was noticed that the HGAC contract fee for 2000 was required, and then we had to do the performance bond as well. So that increased some of the cost by $5,321. So what you have here, this is under action item B and C. You got one for action item B is Fork Union and FRA is requesting some additional funding in the amount of $5,231. Ms. Melton, you got anything to say?
Oh, no, you just called me on down. So
yeah, they're requesting additional funding.
Altogether.
So that's the first request. And the second piece is the actual approval of the contract.
By the way, this I think the staff presentation shows you, but the HGAC, cooperative contract that we're piggybacking onto, contemplates the performance bond. And specifically in cases where we're essentially prepaying. And certainly I would not for a second recommend a contract without the performance bond.
Well, without prepaying without the performance bond.
Well, yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah, so that's...
Any questions for the presenters? Thank you. That's pretty concise, and that's all we need to know.
Very simple. It's Mrs. Melton's first presentation.
No, yeah.
That's doing well so far.
Trying.
All right. Do we? Since there are no questions, I'll just ask if we have a phone call. Do we have a motion?
Yep, let me get
it. I moved for the
second. Hang on. Yeah, you already got it.
There we go. Let me move first one.
What?
Yep.
He was first motion. He was switching screen.
Okay. I moved for the supervisors approve additional funding for the FY23 CIP. Fork Union Tanker 20 in the amount of $5,321 with funding to come from ARPA funds.
Second.
Motion made by Ms. Eager, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0-1. Second motion.
And the second one, we got a very slight revision. We called it a contract, but actually on the actual document, it's an agreement. So that's just cross out contract and agreement. And again, the total is $648,234, but we're prepaying $550,000 up front to get a reduced discount on the purchase of the truck.
All righty, do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors to approve the agreement between Fluvanna County and Rosenbauer South Dakota LLC for the purchase of a Rosenbauer Commander 2,000 gallon tanker totaling $648,234 and further authorize the county administrator to execute the agreement subject to approval as to form by the county attorney.
Second.
Motion's made by Ms. Booker and seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0-1.
Wow. Thank you.
Go call. Is it everybody or just y'all?
It was 5
and 2.
Must be
our
5.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a 5.
Yeah.
Must be something.
Yeah. No, yeah. Wait. Mine didn't go off in my pocket. No, ma'am. So it's 5, 1, and 2.
So it must be
something.
Smoky destruction.
At the lake or in Fort King? Lake. All right. I'll say a little prayer while you're sitting here.
What is it?
Smoking destruction.
Oh, okay.
So let's hope it's...
They're catching it down.
They just cut on the heat for the first time, and the dust has smoked up a little bit. It'll clear out. Everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. All right, D. Palmyra Village Street Kiss Street. Tim, let's try that one again. Palmyra Village Streetscape Project VDOT Transportation Alternatives Program Grant Award, Mr. Dahl.
Yeah, so remember the Transportation Alternatives Program is intended to help grant fund community-based projects, whether it's sidewalks, streetscapes, any kind of transportation projects. So remember, we've been talking about this for quite some time, over a year now. So this grant will provide funding to construct concrete sidewalks and related curbing along Stone Jail Street, basically removing part of Court Square Road that bisects the lawn between Civil War Park and the historic courthouse. Make some properly marked parking spaces, angled spaces, along with the new proposed one-way road system to further improve kind of the village experience and then the village roads, Palmyra Village Roads. So the Palmyra Village Streetscape Project is part of the board's current BOS goals, and it's C31. So on September 1, 2021, the board authorized and approved submission of the grant application. And so just recently, the county received notification on September 2nd that we were awarded VDOT TAP grant funding in the amount of $1,271,325 for the project. The one thing that's changed, so previously the VDOT estimates for the overall project costs were a little lower. Since they've kind of come back, the project costs are a little bit more. So what was the estimate previously for county funding or the county match was $268,600. That has increased to $317,831. So if you look at kind of what is being proposed, here's the historic courthouse. Here's Civil War Park and the county admin buildings right here. So again, what it does is it's going to remove a lot of the road and hardscape between Civil War Park and the historic courthouse to make extended green space. Again, it creates one-way parking, it does sidewalks and curbing. There'll have to be some removal of kind of the little knee wall that's around Civil War Park. You know, they'll provide some parking spaces, some additional sidewalk and stuff like that, and kind of create one way in, one way this way, and you know, it'll be more beneficial for some of the businesses down there. And this is just kind of a phase one of the project.
So it won't be the ditch.
What's that?
The ditch around the
Well, are you talking about right around here?
Yes.
No, that'll still be there. That'll have to be a later project.
So the wall is not being removed.
No, the whole wall around the entire thing is not being removed. This part of the project would.
Oh, no.
Yes. That's just a phase one piece of the project. And so we would submit for a phase two to get the additional piece of that done, whether it's the wall and some of the sidewalks throughout the village of Palmyra.
Are they going to allow the folks to park in front of their houses?
It would be one way, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to park on both sides of the road like you are right now. But yes, you could see that. Those individuals that have homes there could park in front of their house.
Well, I'm not going to tell Ms. Williams I just took her to park.
No, yes. Yes, there's still space for parallel parking along the sidewalks and stuff. Now they would prohibit it like right around here where the crosswalk is and where they're putting some crosswalks. There's going to be some additional angled parking spaces, parallel parking spaces there, and then some parking spaces there.
So that all becomes parking now because
yes.
So you're sort of making up for the parking that was now going to be on the greenscape.
Correct. You know, right here, you know, some cars would park here, and it's just kind of a really kind of wonky, you know, the street's a little weird in the wonky area where cars park. And
trying to explain that to a kid when you're doing drive behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Get them done.
Oh, yes. I'm sure it does.
Yeah,
it
makes a lot of sense.
So again, Main Street is only with one way to Main Street.
It does. So again.
And up by the church is going to be one way coming out.
Yes.
So the church will have, if you're coming that way, you have to go down.
Yeah, so coming in, I mean, obviously coming into Palmyra Village, you can still come up at the bottom of the admin building. Mm-hmm. Coming up here, that's two-way traffic.
Right.
But once you get to here, it's just one-way traffic going down Main Street. So if you're coming in Palmyra, it's one way on this road. Mm-hmm. If you want to go down to a business on Main Street, you make a right and it's one way that way. And then again, parking spaces. And then if you want to leave the village, you either continue to keep on going up past the Methodist Church there, which is two-way, or if you're going around the treasurer's office right here, it's one-way going that direction.
You shouldn't, were there going to be signs that say, you know, north versus south?
Yeah, we could, you know, like I said, we could work, yeah, we could work and get some, do some signage and stuff.
We don't want to put too many signs.
No, I know you don't, but that would be one of those things where you don't want somebody coming down here and then making a left turn.
Yeah.
You know, when they could go straight because they don't know the area, right?
I'm still questioning why that's two-way up there, but.
Well, and two.
I'm not a VDOT engineer.
Yeah, right.
But I can tell you right now, that's a very interesting stretch of road if anybody's parked on that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and so this is kind of looking at the kind of the, I guess it's called the south part of
the wall that's coming down.
This part of this wall would come down right through here, and then there'd be sidewalk and curbing and stuff through that area. And again, this is looking, I guess, if we're at the north end of Civil War Park looking down, again, this would all be removed and would be returned to grass, or green space.
So they're going to leave that wall right there and then just plant grass?
No, I think the wall is going to be removed right there because
just
it's going
down
to be
there to the street.
Yeah, be. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, some of this will be tweaked potentially a little bit during the engineering phase. Let me kind of move on to the next screen here. So this just kind of shows what VDOT's scope of services are: project management, preparation of roadway plans that include drainage plans, signing and pavement markings, maintenance of traffic plans, ENS, cross sections, utility relocation, public involvement activities for environmental studies, stormwater management, right-of-way acquisition, which is, all that, it's all county property basically through there. Compilation of final plans, specs, estimates for roadway sidewalks, bid proposals, administration and advertisements, receipt of bids, and then kind of just administration and oversight of construction engineering, and construction closeout. And again, looking at here, this is kind of shows some preliminary project schedule. So assuming that the board approves this, they would start preliminary engineering coming up here soon by the end of the year. And this is kind of just shows, kind of our 20% match, what amounts attributed to preliminary engineering right away and then construction. So some things through preliminary engineering could be tweaked or changed a little bit, if they find that it needs to be. But that's kind of the overall concept of the plan. Then, if anything dramatically changes, we bring that certainly back to the board. But this just kind of shows the cost. The board has to allocate the full cost, but you can see the total of the costs would not actually fully be expended until fiscal year 26 almost. So we have some time for the funds, but I'm recommending that the board allocate it out of unassigned fund balance. So again, in order to move forward with the grant award, one, the county must approve and allocate the 20% match, which is $317,831. And again, I said it's over basically four fiscal years, and then adopt the resolution affirming commitment to fund the locality share of the projects under the agreement with the Virginia Department of Transportation and provide the signature authority. So,
Mr. Dole, it looks to me like there's going to be actually less parking available. Is there some?
Let me go back to the analogy
of that?
I mean, there would be maybe a little less. I mean, really right now, so you get cars that park along here. So maybe you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You maybe have maybe 2 or 3 less parking spaces right here down in this area because you get cars that kind of park along here. So instead of parking along there, they're going to park, more.
And those other spots to the bottom of the map.
Yeah, they would park
right
here too. Yeah, I mean, right now there's really no. Well, some people park through here, but it's really tight at times. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, are we losing a little parking? Potentially, we're losing some parking spaces, but it's a little more uniform. When you get full down there, some of the parking's a little disjointed at times throughout that area.
Are they going to still allow the parking up in front of the church and beside the commissioner and treasurer's office?
Yes, they're not touching anything with the parking up.
So that will help alleviate some of it.
just have two thoughts. Come,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Eager, are you done? Two thoughts come to mind. One is, since you know, half of the wall is being taken down, the wall there, as you put it, it would seem that maybe the county would consider speaking to the contractor who's going to do that, just removing the entirety of the wall. That's one possibility. It's going to look a little odd. The other possibility would be maybe to make it a little bit more creative, and you know, we could put some tables and benches in there, and kind of like the way they do in Europe, and you have, you know, chess tables there, or, you know, just like, and you could actually sit on the wall on the other side. So now you're using that back wall as a sitting area.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Because there's no real tables there, and now that the park's being expanded, you know, and opened up, because now the park seems a little closed, and so, you know, it's not really used as a park. It's more like wander and walk away. It almost has a, for lack of a better word, it almost has sort of this feeling of, oh, I'm recognizing these monuments as opposed to enjoying the park. And now that we're opening up, it would be, you know, possibly a nice way to make it a more inviting spot by putting some benches right there where the knee wall is. And, you know, converting that. So there's some ideas to send to the architect.
Yeah, we could. I mean, you know, we could talk with VDOT to see. I mean, and see what their process is through preliminary engineering. I mean, you know, is there input from the county to come up with some alternatives? I mean, because are you maybe recommending? So again, they're talking about taking the wall completely down along this section.
Right.
But are you talking along maybe some of the other areas?
So either remove it, because now the wall's gone.
Yeah.
Now maybe there's an advantage to keeping that little knee wall, but the sidewalk's on the other side of the road, so nobody's going to be walking there, presumably.
I think probably the only advantage potentially of leaving the knee wall up on this section right now is because there is that big ditch there right now. So it kind of directs if you're crossing. So if you, I'm not sure if you can see right here, there's like a little platform that kind of goes across the really deep ditch, and so the knee wall kind of directs people to go there if they're going to go into the street. So I think from probably just from a safety standpoint,
maybe it should be there, and or you can replace it with hedges, obviously.
Yeah.
I was just wondering why the ditch was even there.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to
say.
It's a drainage ditch, and they're talking about correcting drainage. So if they're correcting drainage, they're going to have to do something with that.
Well, again, this is just a phase one piece. The phase two piece, and we've met with VDOT, is coming up here and doing something along this section.
Well, I mean, I realize that VDOT, this is kind of unrelated to VDOT in a way, but you have to think that the expense of replacing that section of the wall while the contractor's out there demolishing the other section of the wall can't be that much, right? You know, and or
the equipment's
being
already
creative,
there.
Right?
The equipment's already there. If they can do it, do it.
So are you saying get rid of the wall and do something about the drainage component right there?
Well, I mean, I threw out two ideas. One is if there's a reason for the wall, make it so that you're using the wall as a seating area to some degree, right? And then putting like little tables right across from it, maybe a couple of chairs.
The only issue I have with using it as a seating wall, somebody's going to roll backwards, get the laughing or something.
Yeah, it's a small drop.
Yeah, but that's into the ditch.
Nothing stopped. Well, let's put it this way. Nothing stopped them from doing it right now.
And we've had someone step in that ditch.
Yeah, we will certainly ask VDOT some of the alternatives. I would be surprised if maybe that would have to be, if we want to do that, that would have to be something separate with the county in conjunction with maybe the work that they're doing.
That's what I'm saying is, you know, trucks are there, the contractor's there. You might say, sure, I'll tear down that.
But part one is functioning or looking at drainage, correct? Phase one?
Well, again, through here, it's not all the drainage through here, because all the drainage through here, that's a pretty monumental pass through there.
Well, I'm just talking about that ditch is there for drainage.
It is. That ditch is for drainage.
So if they're not working on drainage, they've got to do something with that to make that.
They are, but
not so much a hazard.
Well, what we can do, we can inquire with them. And Mr. Miles, come up a second really quick. Do you remember some of the conversations about some of the other phases?
Mr. Dahl, why does it take 5 years?
because it's VDOT projects are not, unfortunately, are not lightning fast, and maybe it goes a little quicker, but by the time they get the funding and get things in queue and do engineering, it's a slow process.
The amount of scale, this is just one of those things that's a pet peeve of mine. You're fixing a bridge out in the country part of Fluvin or the country part of Louisa, 6 months. But a bridge can mess up, it's three lanes in Charlottesville, in a week, it's done.
Yeah.
Now, you can't, the amount of people it affects, I guess, is one of those things that...
Douglas, you...
Yeah, so Chairman Sheridan, Mr. O'Brien, Vice Chairman O'Brien, so basically, the Stonedale Street Phase 1 would be mainly only be doing sidewalk improvements and pedestrian improvements there. So they can't take down the remaining part of the wall because of the drainage structure and the way it's designed. So they didn't scope that in that, but we did talk preliminarily with them about Phase 2 and the drainage element, the open channel, the grading that's over it and everything needs to stay there for safety purposes. So, but yes, in Phase 2, that is the majority of the discussion is when they're looking at it. And also your thoughts or comments about the benches and things, those are typically going to be in-kind improvements that maybe Rotary Club or other things are done that way. And that's the VDOT factors that in, and they've seen what we've done so far with Park and all Rotary and all those type of groups doing that work. So, but this Phase 2 is going to be the most expensive part, and really the best part of it if they change the sidewalks there from 3 feet to 5 feet standard VDOT size, that will also take out the overhead electrical for Dominion. And we've been, it's been recommended by VDOT for us to talk to Dominion Energy to maybe do that work in kind or some type of operations that VDOT would, their contractor would work with Dominion and their staff to do that. And then that underground electrical would be installed and then make it a safer and pedestrian environment as well.
Yeah.
So we've looked at trying to save money in VDOT Culpepper's staff when we did the study. So there's a lot of ways that we can each year work with people to decrease costs to the county and make it much safer, because the whole idea is pedestrian and historic safety improvements in the village.
And too, I think too, with that additional green space right there, I think it lends to some additional getting some more businesses and create some more, you know, there's lots of art markets happening in the village and lots of things like that. So it just provides a lot of nicer green space.
Oh, I think it's great. I mean, I love the concept, and I was just sort of expanding it to say, now that it's being opened up, and maybe other members of the board say, no, we like the idea that it's kind of this monument park instead of a park that's a little friendlier. I don't know, but I just thought that was kind of a
more things
fun
to
idea.
Draw more folks to it.
Right,
would be my thought.
Yeah, and easy enough, and you've got seating right there. Yeah. If you're not taking that away, right?
Well, we can talk to VDOT, but again, if VDOT doesn't, if VDOT is against doing anything with the wall, I mean, we can certainly get additional seating in that area.
Sure,
and whether it's
reach out to
tables, benches,
just a little small, you know, and they could be Civil War looking tables.
We have a great shop class or carpentry class at the high school that probably could do an excellent job.
We're actually working with the shop department right now on some really nice. I don't remember the technical name, but you know, when you've got wooden, I almost want to call them, when they're pinned together with wood peg boards and shelters and stuff, big kind of nice shelters, we're looking at doing some things with them on that. We're looking at the love sign, do something with the shop class. So yeah, there's good kind of a collaboration going on with the Fluvin High School and the great things that they're doing.
Yeah, and I have a real special interest in the Civil War Park to put more of the written history there. And I've been trying to find someone to draw a schematic picture of what could be there. I know we are honoring Douglas, what's his last name, the Navy young man that died.
Dakota Rick.
Yeah, Dakota Rick.
Dakota Rick. He has something there in the park. I think it's oh, and it's a tree there. I mean, it's a lot of sentimental, that's sentimental that we need to add more things to it so that it has a different kind of meaning. A lot of people have want to name it not the Civil War Park, but a monument. I don't think it's a memorial park.
One of the more powerful things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I took a class down to the Virginia War Memorial,
mm-hmm.
and I should have taken a picture of it. I don't think I did. But they went by war, mm-hmm. and two from Fluvanna had died in that war in service.
Yeah, and I know Gooseland and Louisa have the symbols for all of the military crescents, Air Force, everything, Navy. And that's there, and then it's a very patriotic words at the bottom to kind of honor them. So we need to maybe make that a little bit more history. Plus, people can go in the park, as Tony was saying, and sit and read and what's going on. So learning and have lunch and whatever. So, but I need to find some. I met someone this weekend, an architect at the University of Virginia. I don't know if I can get a student to come out and kind of sketch some things and ideas. Because I think people will buy a move if they understand how it's going to look. I wish I could draw. I can't draw three dimensions. You know who's the best sketch in the world is Jeff Suitland up here.
Well, now that Mr. Sheldon has painted the picture. One quick question is the yellow line on 15 an expansion of the road there?
No, or is that just a that's probably their VDOT parcels right away, something like that.
That would be my guess. Is that the right of way?
Yeah, that's the right of way.
15 right
of
way.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. Hearing none, do we have a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve a supplemental appropriation of $317,831 from unassigned fund balance to allocate its required 20% match for the VDOT Transportation Alternatives Program TAP grant for Palmyra, Virginia. Palmyra Village Streetscape CIP Project.
Do I have a second for motion one?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0-1. Motion two.
I'm happy to do it.
Go ahead.
I move the Board of Supervisors adopt the resolution entitled Resolution Affirming Commitment to Fund the Locality Share of Projects Under Agreement with the Virginia Department of Transportation and Provide Signature Authority for the Palmyra Village Streetscape Project.
Second. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, y'all play rock, paper, scissors. All right. Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. I have to leave. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0-1. Next up is the Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development update. Ms. Coffin, I saw you sitting back there, young lady.
I don't like it being dark this early, though, right?
Try getting on a bus when it's dark and the sun comes up as you're driving to the school.
Well, good evening, and thanks so much for your time tonight. First of all, it's a pleasure to see everyone in person. I'm not a person that's loved the Zoom meeting, so it's really been fun to get around and talk to all the boards of supervisors in our region. So I'm Helen Coffin. How do I advance it?
You just tell me the slide and I'll go.
So I'm Helen Coffin. I'm president of the Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development. I think most of you know that. We were founded in 1995 and are a public-private partnership of 8 counties plus the city of Charlottesville. Next slide. I just want to thank Eric Dahl for being our Treasury Secretary, and he keeps finding errors. You know, that former finance director is really good at being a treasurer.
Of course.
I told my finance director, no more errors. He's a former finance director, please. And also Jennifer Schmack, your Economic Development Director, is one of our good ED partners. We meet monthly with that group. And so really appreciate the involvement of your folks with our organization. Next slide is, just so you all know, we do have two organizations under our umbrella. They do have separate councils or boards, so we do not tell them what to do. They tell us what to do, but we are their support organization for Go Virginia Region 9 Council, and also for Virginia CareerWorks Piedmont Region, on which Tony O'Brien faithfully serves. So thank you for your service on that council. Next slide, sorry. Our program report, these are results from last year with an Amazon data center in Culpeper of $500 million. Our results are way higher than they usually are. we do have three main areas of focus: marketing and business attraction, business retention and expansion, regional collaboration, which includes site readiness, and then also our new initiative to build on what we're doing with Virginia CareerWorks, a new talent retention and attraction initiative that I'm here today to talk to you about.
Okay, Next slide. Just because those numbers are there, what is Bona Moose and what is Rivanna?
Okay, Rivanna is a medical device company that's in Alamar County. And Bona Moose is actually really interesting. They have a new plant-based sugar that Hershey Company has done a deal with them, and they are just exploding with growth because it basically is a healthy chocolate. Or healthy sugar, I'm sorry, it's not chocolate, healthy sugar. So I'm really excited about that.
We have a county employee that was part of that prior.
Oh, yeah? Who is that?
Oh. I don't know, but she might have laid the smack down on
that. Yeah, it's really interesting. And they went into the State Farm, they were growing, and they were out at the research park, and they were growing, and we were having trouble finding any place for them to go, and they ended up at the State Farm, the old State Farm building in the warehouse section. Mm-hmm. So pretty interesting. But really a company, both those companies are companies to watch.
Yeah.
Next slide. So what I'm really here to tell you about tonight is our new, brand new website. So we have centralvirginia.org, which I hope you all have looked at. We have a brand new sister website, or brother, whatever, livingcentralva.org. And that is really, we typically use our website, or centralvirginia.org, for companies. This website is actually to focus on people. The main focus is to help keep people here. A lot of folks we feel like have moved to the area during COVID. Their bosses in New York, Washington, wherever they are, may start saying, you need to come into the office. And we want to be sure that we show them the job openings we have here and help them find that easily to keep them here, also keep UVA students here, and as well as attract people that used to live here back to the region to fill our job openings. So this isn't really about growth. This is really about helping our existing employers get the talent that they need. So this is what the site looks like. If you go to the Live page, if you don't mind, you can see a Fluvanna County's page live and in person if you scroll on down. Thank you for doing a demo. No one else has done that, Eric. Impressive. If you can get it to work. You can't click on that. You have to go on down. Sorry.
That's all right. Oh, there we go.
I tried to get them to do that. They didn't do that. So there we go. And then Fluvanna County has a page. This is what we worked with Jennifer to do this page. If you would like to add anything or don't like something, just let her know. She'll let us know, and we will fix it. This is really for you all. If you go on down, you all chose that you wanted to focus on Lake Monticello weekends and outdoors, and then all the things that have the green underlines are links and go directly to more information about those pages, and we're super excited about that. If you keep on scrolling, I think, you see the Find a Job feature. So if you click on that Find a Job link, you'll also be able to search for jobs in the Central Virginia region. If you're on the work pages, you'll actually be able to search by that particular sector. So if you don't mind going to work and just pick any of them, Eric, I'll give them an example. So if manufacturing, what is, I think, neat about this going down, if you So a couple things that's neat about it. So the logo, so you have a video about performance signs. So you keep scrolling down, Performance signs has a video. So we did videos on each page about people talking about what it's like to work at a company here and live, play, and work in Central Virginia. And then at the bottom of the page, we have logos. If you click on those logos, you either go to that company's website or that company's career page if they have one. That's what we prefer them to go to, but they don't all have them. We're happy to add companies to that in this sector, and again, we think that's going to be a real tool for folks. Speaking of tools, yes. Stuart Tool as an example. And then play is really just highlighting some of the wonderful things to do in our region. And this has, we'll be developing more of this. Right now, it just has a lot of links. But again, if you see things that you'd like to add or think about things you'd like to add, we're glad to do that. And if you go back to the PowerPoint, look at you. I'm going to tell everybody, Fluvanna did a demo of the website.
If you can rub it in on a little skinny dude that works up at that Tejas County now, anytime you can get that to a shot of him, make sure. Thank you.
Skinny dude. And so you see Fluvanna here. The next page. So this is now another exciting thing we have as a new magazine coming out. It'll be digital and hard copy. It's going to be called Livability Central Virginia. Last year, Charlottesville ranked number 5 in a survey of, or the, in a ranking of the top 100 communities in the country. This year, they're number 22. We're top 100, so our cover page will say top 100. And so everybody's represented, all of our. So this is, it's kind of, to me, it's kind of like a tourism publication, but it's the entire region. It's really geared to young people, 25 to 40, and also students to help them see how much fun it is in Central Virginia to try to keep them here. It's also a tool for companies to use. And I'll give you an example, a Stuart Tool. They could use your information that you have, or they can have a digital publication. This will be free for anybody that wants to have a link to the digital publication to help their potential employees see all the cool things there are to do in Central Virginia. I circled a few things that are Fluvanna County specific, so you see that. We're going to do this, we hope, for 3 years, so this is the first year. If you feel like when you see it that you'd like something, topic covered, or pay more attention to XYZ in Fluvanna, we're glad to capture that information, glad to do that. It is beautiful, I'm really excited about it, and hopefully you guys will be as well. So hard copy and digital, which I think is huge, and the digital's free. Anybody, we will let anybody who wants to put that on a site, the chambers or whomever, will let them use it. The next page. Last but not least, we're really excited about a new Go Virginia-funded initiative called, we're calling it TechLink. We've hired a talent director, Mary Kay Campbell, and 3 UVA work-study students to actually learn about our job openings in the region and the careers offered here in these just these target sectors and tech jobs, and talk to their UVA fellow students about them. So the idea is most UVA students come in and they leave. We're trying to keep some of those students here when they graduate because we think that would be a huge pipeline for our employers. They don't have to stay here forever, but if they'd start their careers here and stay a couple of years, that could make a huge difference. The other thing that is wonderful about students, they already have affordable housing. They have friends, they already have an apartment potentially, and so that's really a non-issue for them, just extending it for a year, that kind of thing. So we're really excited about that. The students are super smart. They're coming up with great ideas. We're really excited about that. And now we're reaching out to employers in those sectors and say, hey, be sure we know about your tech jobs for December and for May, June, because we know what your current openings are, but we also want to know about those jobs that UVA graduates could qualify for. We want to extend this to Germana and PVCC community college students. We have a Germana work study student identified. We kind of missed the time frame since this wasn't funded till mid-September for PVCC, but hope to add them. Then last but not least, we're part of a talent collaborative. Virginia Career Works has a Go Virginia grant called Talent Supply Connector for internships and apprenticeships for community college students and high school juniors and seniors. Virginia Career Works also is collaborating with UVA on the Region 9 Internship Collaborative. That's internships in almost any sector for UVA students, community college students and juniors and seniors in high school, and then our TechLink initiatives. We're all trying to work together, in part because your business people don't want to be contacted by five of us. They prefer one. So if one of us is reaching out, we're all trying to reach out, which has already been a little tricky, but we're doing our best on that. And that's the next slide. And just want to point out, investors, we really appreciate that you all are an excellent investor. You've supported us for, I don't think you've ever not supported us, and we really, really appreciate that. Caton Companies, Vanderlyn Recycling, there's a number of utilities, banks, and other firms with connections to Fluvanna County. We just greatly appreciate all that collaborative support. And do I have one more? Yes. The last, I always have this slide. Basically, it's a long-term process. It takes all of us working together. And again, I really, really appreciate your support and your time tonight. And I could go on forever, but I'm glad to stop and answer any questions.
Yeah. Can you go back to the very first slide?
The first slide?
Right. Yeah. It's the one where it says it's the heart of Virginia.
That's what I was looking
for. The what?
Maybe it's in this attract retain.
I wonder if it was on the website, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it was. That's where it was. Right.
You want me to go back to that?
Yeah, real quick.
Yep. There's the Central Virginia is in the heart.
Oh, is the heart. There you go. Yeah. And I just wanted to point out that Fluvanna is the heart of Central Virginia.
Oh, exactly. So there you go. Sure. Somehow Virginia. We've got to do Virginia. That.
Not just Central.
Oh, of Virginia.
The world.
I'm glad you're co-opting our live, work, play thing and, you know, the heart thing. So, but, you know, just want to point out Fluvanna is the center of it all.
Exactly. There you go. One thing we're really excited about is we do feel like this is all of the work that we're doing really takes everybody's assets and brings them together. You know, we'll see if the UVA student initiative works. I mean, we may find out that they say, you're not going to keep them here. Don't focus on it. But these students are super sharp, 2 second years and a fourth year, and they are just so energetic and already coming up with a lot of ways to share information, even through classes. So they've identified the technology-related classes. They're working with the professors to get them to email students about it. They've got a QR code, which, you know, I don't really understand completely, but, you know, QR code to get students to be able to sign up so they can send them regular information about job openings and things. So it's going to be really exciting in a couple more months to see what they've come up with.
That's really nice.
It's exciting. And without Go Virginia, we couldn't have done it.
That's right.
So, pretty neat.
You'll be presenting this again tomorrow, I suppose.
Yeah, well, no, not this initiative, because it won't be at the, but, oh, you're on the, yeah. Tony is also on the Go Virginia Region 9 Council, so he is very involved with our efforts, so thank you. I've always been a good supporter. We won't be presenting this in detail tomorrow. We'll wait a couple more months.
So it was on the package for the TechLink program.
Yeah, so it'll be, I think it's just more the flyers in there so people see it, but we'll hopefully do a presentation once we've made more progress. We've just gotten started.
And some of the students do stay.
Excuse me?
Some of the students do stay.
Tony?
I came to Central Virginia 40 years ago to go to UVA, and I'm still here and never left.
Excellent. Well, we want about 100 more of you this now.
I was sitting here thinking to myself, and some of them have apartments, some of them have friends with apartments. Some of them just live at home with their parents.
Hey, that works too. We just don't want them to leave. We want them to stay here,
exactly.
Especially because they're so smart. And so a lot of our employers could really benefit from keeping some of that brain power right here.
Yep, workforce is the big thing we all need.
Right.
You know, say this a long
time
ago.
I'm still at home.
Two of them. But
you can't find a place to live.
Huh?
You can't find an affordable place to live.
I won't go there. The price of food is better.
You're not charging them
back. You know, keeping those guys around, keeping them finding good jobs, that's how we build. And people that are connected have a love, and that shines through when you're going do a job. You can tell when people come through your door that enjoy doing what they do.
Right.
Because it just shows. And that makes such a difference in this world. And our country's got to figure out how to go back to work. You know? I mean, I'm not going to get on a soapbox and preach, but I mean, it's the same with the students, but as individuals, COVID screwed up not just the young, but the old. We got to figure out how to go back and roll our sleeves up.
I'd like to figure out how these people can not get paid and be fine. I don't see how they do that, but it is really interesting. Our labor force participation rate is definitely still off where it was before COVID. And even though I know some friends that have dropped out of the workforce at younger than I would think they would be able to, but it is really just amazing. I mean, how are people not having to work? It's interesting.
And I'm not even so much saying that they're not going. When they're there, be there.
Exactly.
You know, those ones that aren't afraid to work a little overtime, do a little bit extra.
Exactly. Well, thank you all so much. And again, really, really appreciate your support. And it's just a delight to be here in person.
Thank you so much for coming in. We do appreciate it. All righty, folks. That's the end of our presentations. We now come to the consent agenda. F, minutes of October the 5th, 2022. G, Virginia Department of Environmental Quality Local Government Guarantee. H, CRMF, Central Fire Control Systems. I, CRMF, FCHS, Hot Water Heater. J, CRMF, FCHS, Track Service. K, CRMF, FMS, Fire Control Main Board. L, CRMF, FMS, Fire Control System. Anything we want to pull from those?
I have some questions about G.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the one about environmental quality
guarantee.
Could you explain
Humana's
liability?
So let me just go back to the agenda. So basically the schools have underground fuel tanks, one for diesel, one for regular fuel. Because basically Fluvanna County, the county is kind of the financial signatory on behalf of the schools, we have to guarantee that we've got the capacity should something go wrong or should the schools not take appropriate action to remediate any issues with the tanks, whether they're leaking or something like that, that the county would then be responsible. And it gave amounts, $20,000 per occurrence and $20,000 aggregate for doing some remediation efforts for those tanks. And that's it's a Department of Environmental Quality guarantee. And the interesting thing is this guarantee has to be done on a yearly annual basis. And so DEQ contacted me. Actually, they contacted the schools, and then the schools sent this to me because it's a guarantee by the county, and said, well, we need this. And I said, okay, that's fine. I've never seen this before, and I've kind of been the one overseeing the finance side for quite some time. And they're like, this you're supposed to do this on an annual basis. I'm like, I have never seen this since I've been here with the county. And so basically they said, it looks like, back in 2011 or 2010, we sent something, but we haven't been following up. So they're starting to follow up and make sure that these guarantees are in place for all the localities that have underground tanks. So this is just something as kind of part of the audit now that we'll be doing this kind of financial guarantee, and we're just going to have to do it on an annual basis from now on.
And have our tanks been analyzed or surveyed to see what condition they're in?
I can't. I know Dr. Kelly's here. He probably can't speak specifically on that, and I can't speak probably necessarily on behalf of the schools. I'm sure that they have to do something to make sure that the tanks are in good working order and stuff, but I am not, I can't be 100% confident in the answer I'm giving you. I would have to just get with Dr. Gratz or potentially Dr. Stribling, yes. But I mean, the tanks are being utilized for fuel on a daily basis, and so if there was issues with it, I think they would, for lack of a better word, it would come to the surface. And we'd be required, and the schools would be required to take care of it. And if not, then it kind of basically falls back to the county. But there was that $20,000 per occurrence in aggregate responsibility that we have.
So it's not more than that?
No.
Okay.
And their tanks also serve
for the fire department and,
yeah.
and the
county,
the sheriff, county, everybody uses the tank by Carriesbrook.
I would just recommend that you bury that pun next time.
We're all wrong. All right. So, any other questions? Does that help, Ms. Senior?
Yes.
All right, any other questions? Do I have a motion to adopt the consent agenda?
So, I move that second. We adopt the consent agenda.
Okay, Ms. Booker made a motion. Mr. O'Brien seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0-1. All right. Any unfinished business?
Unfinished or
I haven't gotten there yet.
All right, sorry.
Don't jump. All right. Unfinished?
Well, just real quickly, I know we won't get into discussing, you know, the materials that you sent to us about COC studies and those kinds of things. Would be appropriate anyhow without Mr.
If you don't have your partner here.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I did want to say that the reading is very good, a lot, and thank you for putting that out there. The census information is great, too. I just did a little quick calculation of the 2.57 people per household here. If you multiply that by the total number of households, it's actually 29,000, which means we have 2,000 homeless people.
They're staying in the hotels.
Be that as it may, I thought that number was interesting. The other number that isn't on here that would be kind of interesting to know is the breakdown in terms of households married, unmarried. You know, I don't know if that information is part of the census. With kids, no kids.
Well, I'm sure we could find that information. Yeah. I'm sure, yeah, we could.
Yeah, no, it's helpful, and that would be helpful in that discussion. So that's the only thing I want to say.
All righty. So any new business?
I know that Tony had emailed about our school board member that we lost on October the 11th. And that's been very devastating for this county and community. And I think that they're going to have, Dr. Kelly, no more memorial service for her. I have heard that it's the fifth Sunday, but that's not, I haven't seen it written anywhere.
29th, I heard.
29th, is that a Sunday? And that,
well, to that point, he was also going to make himself to avail himself to answer any questions with regard to the process that the school board took. So it's good stuff.
Well, I mean, we don't that's their.
I know.
At your disposal. From what I've seen, services for family and friends is on the 29th in Charlottesville. I forget the exact name of the location, but then there will be a public service on the 30th at 1 p.m., and I believe that's being held at the high school.
I knew there was something going on at the high school. I wasn't sure which day.
Right.
So, do we know what time?
1 p.m., sir.
1 p.m., thank you.
Sunday the 30th.
Okay.
And folks, for those of you that do not know, we are talking about Jaquetta Murray. Jaquetta Murray Key. I'm trying to get G. I just want to say G. Very tragically lost her, she and Andre. You know, I sit back and think, he was a running back on my very first team I ever coached.
You are old.
I am old. but she was just absolutely a lady. Yeah. And she leaves behind two children. So if you can keep them in your prayer, please do.
Yeah, and I know the school board appointed in her replacement, which you can't replace, but I think they probably got what the
as
next
close
closest
she can
thing
get.
Is her husband, Andre Key, to fill that
final young man
interim position. And that's, and Dr. Kelly, that's until next November, potentially?
Yeah, so to my understanding, so we approved a motion to petition the court for a special election. It's my understanding that will happen next November when the other elections, the other seats will be up. And that Andre, or Mr. Key, will serve until January of 2024 after that special election has been held and a winner announced.
And two, you know, she certainly all wasn't just a school board member. She was a great contributor on the planning commission as well, too. So
housing as well, too.
Yeah, she was on the regional housing board. She was a fierce champion in that. And so you know, we've got kind of some information out to try and get that seat, get some applications for that seat as well. So. So yeah, certainly a grave loss, and certainly our thoughts and prayers go to our families.
Yes, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. I did not ask. I'm sorry. I look at my phone. I can't help it. I'm a coach. But the JV team won. I think must have had a goal line stand tonight, and their son is playing JV football.
Trey,
he's not coaching right now. He coaches some of basketball. He helps with basketball right now.
But he's
now.
A school player?
No, he runs a...
He has a mentoring service.
Mentoring service.
He does a lot with CSA.
And he also does service for guys who've come out on probation.
Right. Yeah, I remember talking to him about that. You mentioned that he coached, so I assume...
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's coached football, but he's coaching basketball right now.
Okay.
And he was also the power forward on my first basketball team.
and I know a friend to you as well, too. So.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. All right. Thank you for that update. I will now open the second round of public comment. Anyone wish to address the board at this time, please state your name and address. Keep your comments 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Does anyone wish to speak at this time? Anybody online, sir?
Nope.
Seeing none, I will now close the second round of public comment. Mr. O'Brien?
Mr. Chair, I move that the Leon County Board of Supervisors enter into closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A19 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing personnel, boards, committees, commissions, attendance, compliance, county attorney services, investment of funds, Louisa County water agreement, public safety, structure of emergency services.
Second.
Motion is made by Mr. O'Brien, second by Ms. Booker. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We are now in closed session.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Savannah County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors has hereby certified to the best of each member's knowledge. One, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950, as amended. And two, only such public business matters as were identified by the motion in which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
I second that motion.
We got a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Mr. Fairchild is absent. The chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0-1. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 4-0-1. Thank you, folks.
Aye.